Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I share our best advice for how you can advise and support your clients during product launches. Many store builders think their job is just to build the store and then hand the reins over to their clients to go forward and do good things. But if you want to increase your earning potential and make each client relationship exponentially more valuable, then you'll become an expert in continuing to support them through their store or product launch. In this particular episode, we're going to talk about the role a store builder should play during a launch, a few of the most important considerations when supporting a product launch, common roadblocks you should watch out for, and the tools and resources that you'll need to effectively deliver on all of these responsibilities. This episode is full of actionable advice, so I recommend that you get something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side of the conversation to tie up any loose ends. So without further ado, let's dive into my conversation with Chris. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. My name is James Sowers and I am joined as always by Mr. Chris Lemma. Chris, how are things on your end of the world today?
Things are great. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. And I'm really excited about the conversation that we're going to have today. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to be excited too, because it's a big deal. It's kind of like the Super Bowl for a store builder, right? And we're going to be talking about product launches and specifically kind of the role that the store builder plays in the product launch and how you could deliver even more value for your clients throughout that entire process. So maybe to kick things off, what is the role of the typical store builder when you're talking about a product launch and how do they fit into the bigger picture?
You know, what's crazy is that when you first think about the role of a store builder, right? You think, oh, I'm going to build your stuff and then I walk away and it's on you. And yet almost no store owner knows all the different things that they should be thinking about or all the things they could be thinking about or even what's possible, right? And so what happens is a store builder is the, you know, because you've been sitting there interacting with them over and over for weeks or months, you become one of the first people they talk to when they're like, should I send out an email or do I need a dedicated landing page or should I change the URL? Like they don't know how to think about it, right? So my general recommendation, especially for high value store builders, right, is become develop capacity and skill, right? Become as much of an expert as you can in product launches so that you can be one of the first people that is thinking strategically about that launch, right? I had a customer of mine. I hadn't talked to this customer in months, right? I mean, it's better to say they're not a customer, like they were a customer and then we have no long-term relationship, but every now and then we have a conversation and I'm getting on a plane, right? Several weekends ago, I'm getting on a plane. I'm about to board the plane and sit down. And for me, I turn everything, all devices off. That's my time to rest and do nothing. And it comes up this little text message. It goes, hey, I have a new idea for a new product. Is there any way that you can build whatever we need to do to launch it tomorrow? Right? Like that's in their mind, right? It's like, well, don't you just have to add a product into the catalog and then we'll just launch? And you're like, So we may not want to do a overnight launch, right? Like we may want to think about this, but let's talk about what we need, right? We need a landing page, right? And a landing page needs copy, potentially video, all of the stuff that's going to woo people. You're probably going to need some testimonials, some quotes. You're going to need some different kinds of descriptions, right? What is involved in getting this? How do you deliver it? We're going to need some graphics, right? Dedicated graphics related to the product. So part of what you do is give people a list of this is what you would need for that landing page. But then that landing page you probably want a timer on it to tell people, hey, you're going to, like, it's not yet for sale, but it's going to be for sale. And the countdown is on, right? But then you're going to need to go create the product, the actual product in the system so that people can buy it, right? But then you don't want that to be visible or available until the time they can buy it. And then immediately you're going to go, well, is there only one product price or do you have variations of prices, right? Can people pay on an installment plan? Do they pay, right? So you start talking about this, right? And then you go, oh, and then don't you need to send an email out, right? And let people know about the landing page which is going to eventually turn into the product page, which is going to route people to the shopping cart to buy page. And you start walking this through and realize, yeah, in that moment, they're not paying me to write the code, right? They're paying me to be the product launch strategist who happens to be a technologist who knows how to think about these tools, right? And sometimes if you know for a fact as a store builder, that's not your forte, right? Then it means that you are the resource finder for these store owners, right? Where you go, they go, hey, do you know how to do landing page stuff? You're like, I don't write any copy, but I have a copywriter. Well, do you do the graphics for the custom product? I don't do, you know, creative, but I have a great illustrator, right? You know, I don't do video, but I have a great videography team that I know of that I can recommend to get out there and shoot you on site to put it on the, you know, right? So all this stuff that comes about when you get into getting ready to do a launch, either you can provide the strategy and help, or you need to make sure that you have resources that you can connect people to.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because sitting here listening to it, the first reaction that I had, it was, if I'm a store builder, that sounds overwhelming. Like all of a sudden I have to be a copywriter and a designer and a developer all at the same time. That's not necessarily true. In some scenarios, like you're suggesting, you would become kind of the great facilitator, right? The great connector. You have a team. But the important point there, I think, is that you don't lose control of that client relationship, right? Like you're not doing a complete handoff. You're saying, I have the resources available to execute on this vision that I just described to you. Can we continue working together? So I'm curious, maybe just to take a step back, if somebody is a store builder and historically they have been just the person who builds the store and then they're done, but they want to get into more of this product launch, they want to be that strategic advisor, they want to increase that client lifetime value, how would you suggest, like, at what point do they position themselves as that partner for the product launch? Does that have to start at the very beginning when you first start your relationship with the client? Or is it kind of one of those things where you build the store and then they start talking about the product launch and that's where you pop up and say, oh, by the way, I do all these other things first. So do you have a recommendation there?
So first of all, I personally don't recommend the whole, I can do all the things, right? So whether that's at the beginning of the relationship, the middle of the relationship, the end of the relationship, doing the whole, I can do everything. First of all, people start going, well, like, are you really credible? Like, imagine if I went to go buy a car, right? And they're like, oh, and by the way, we build roads too. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, no, people who build cars don't build roads. Like, yeah, they ride on, like, so you're just like, don't be, it's illogical to believe that you're good at everything and that you do everything, whatever. But that doesn't mean that you may not be able to do some of those things. And I find that the most effective medium for having that conversation about what I can help you with is asking the question rather than making the statement, right? So you ask the question, hey, I know for your product launch, you're probably gonna be sending out a whole sequence of emails. I don't know if you're using a MailChimp, a ConvertKit, a Drip, or whatever. Like, are you gonna need any custom URLs or custom pages to connect those dots? If the person has a copywriter, an email person, an email configurator, whatever, if they have that person, they're gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna get you connected up with Susie or Frank, and we'll get it done. If they've never thought about it, they go, wait, roll back, tell me more. What should I be doing? And then you go, well, most people, right, when they're launching a product, you'll have a series of emails that prep, you know, building awareness and building up some demand. And they're like, oh, no, I never thought. Okay, now can you help me with that? Or do I need to get someone else? They come and ask you to be in that role, rather than you saying, you know, I could also do this. I could also do this. I still like being in the pitch mode, but asking the question often drives people to the, oh, wait, can we talk more about what you can do to help me facilitate that?
Gotcha. And so maybe a follow-on question that is somewhat related, but kind of after you've got that buy-in, you're helping with the product launch. I'm curious, do you have any insight as to, I imagine there are two different types of launches, and we use the term product loosely here, but like, there could be the launch of a new store, a brand new store that you just built for them, and they're putting the store out in the world, they're flipping the switch, they're making that public, and then an individual product within an existing catalog or portfolio of products. What is the difference between how someone might handle a launch for a complete store versus a single product or a product line?
So I think they're very, very similar. That's because I'm a product guy. So of course, I think of all these things in a, like, hey, if you're going to launch a store, launch it like you're launching a product. And because that's my paradigm, I think about them the same. I'm sure some people would go, no, launching a store is one way and launching a product is different. But as a product guy, I go, no, I treat everything like a product launch, right? So I think, okay, are you prepping an audience? Are you building an audience? And if you've built the audience, are you prepping the audience? If you're prepping the audience, do you have a way for them to share their excitement about what's coming with their network so that you grow your network again and prep even more people all to get ready for, okay, now you're going to open it. You have a grand opening. It happens with restaurants, right? A restaurant will not only build itself up and have and be there physically, then they have to hire all the staff and train them. And then before they launch to practice their restaurant touring, right? Mm-hmm. They invite the waiters and waitresses and hosts to invite their families in. And so the restaurant will still be closed, right? But they'll do 3 nights of, you know, serving friends and family, right? And why? Because every one of those friends and family is going to go out and tell their friends, oh my God, the latest churrasqueria is here in town, or the this or that, right? Oh, the pie is to die for. You got to try. And that's all word of mouth, right? So how do you do that, whether you're launching a store or whether you're launching a product? How, you know, those, all those steps are very similar to try and get an audience that's prepped so that you have your best days as you get started. Because it's super depressing, right? If you just like, hey, my website's there and nobody's prepped for it. And then you send out an email or post to Facebook, I have a new website, it's here, right? And everyone's like, yeah, I'll look at that later. But nobody's emotionally invested in the thing. Years and years ago, I was gonna buy my first car. And my dad said, you know, when you walk onto that car lot, and of course it's different these days, right? You go to CarMax, you just go in and you buy a car and there's no haggling. But he goes, when you walk onto that car lot, someone gets out of the queue. The salesperson gets out of line, like they were up next. And that person makes a small investment with you to talk about buying a car. And if you don't buy that car, they go to the back of the line and they have to wait until it's their turn again. But if you show up again a second time, that person gets out of the queue wherever they are to come back and help you. So if you go back to the car lot 4 or 5 times, even though you initially started with a greater investment, a greater desire to buy the car than the guy who's selling, because he's like, well, it's not you, it's someone else. By the time you've gone back 4 or 5 times, they now are invested in you because they've gotten out of line four right. other times. Just to work with you. Now they need you to close this deal or it wasn't worth it, right? So now they're on the hook with as much desire as you are. And so I would go 4 or 5 times before I bought a car. And of course that gave, that leveled a bit of the dynamic, right? The power dynamic and the desire, right? To do a deal. When I launch a product, when I launch a store, right? I'm thinking about it the same way. I got to get my audience to be just as invested as me. If not, it's all just me. I'm the only one invested in this. But if an audience is invested, if they've shared it, if they're writing about it, if they're coming and visiting, if they're checking their, you know, their clocks or whatever, if they are as invested as I am in success, then we have a launch that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a term that I learned when I was in the old suit and tie consulting days. And one of my bosses said, you want your clients to feel like their fingerprints are all over the end product, their fingerprints. And I always love that phrase because to me, I think that's kind of what an e-commerce store owner or a store builder wants to do as well. You want your customers to feel like they have their fingerprints on the final product. And we heard you, so we built this feature because you said you had this need. And I think that that is that emotional investment that you're getting into that makes them more inclined to tell friends and purchase the product when it goes live. So I love that. And I also love the soft launch aspect that you talked about with the restaurant example, because I just think that's so valuable. And in addition to getting all those folks to share it with their friends and family, it also lets you put your systems and processes through the ringer a little bit at a smaller level. And then when you turn up the volume, you know that things are going to stand up to all that additional traffic. So I love those 2 points you shared there. I'm curious as a next step, how do you recommend that store builders define success when it comes to a product launch? Because obviously from the client perspective, it's sales, right? It's sales and revenue. Are we selling the product? That is success. But as a store builder, there are multiple facets of success and not just the marketing angle. There's going to be some stuff about the technicalities and the website and all that. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts around that.
So first of all, I would say it's always great if you can align your definition of success with the customer's definition, right? Because when the store owner says, look, for me, success is 100 sales this week. And you might have thought, oh my God, if it were me, I would have wanted 1,000 or I would have wanted 10, right? It's important that you get on their page, right? So if they say 100 sales this, you know, the first week or whatever, then you go, okay, how can I help get them to that? Because if I can help people win, all the rest of the doors open for me. But you're right. There is still another piece of it that's important to me, right? I have to say, hey, listen, I don't want to find out later that all the emails that were supposed to go out after people bought something didn't go out, right? One of those common mistakes that happens in online stores is people will use the servers, the infrastructure that hosts the store to send the emails, right? And so if your web server is a web server, you don't really want it to be a mail server. And in fact, more often than not, it's not necessarily a good mail server. And so then the mail doesn't go. And then if the deliverability goes down, then all those onboarding things you thought were going to happen, they're not happening. And so I want to make sure that I have my own little checklist, like, hey, did I use a third-party transactional, you know, email system? Did I integrate it right? Did the emails still go out? So email deliverability is important, right? For each, you know, did it get there? Did it reach the destination? Did it go out of the system? That means integrating with Mandrill or SendGrid or, you know, any of the other, you know, systems, Mailgun, like that. You go, okay, I have a technical checklist, right? Because I know that if those pieces run right, then the odds that that onboarding sequence is going to have power are going to play out. And if I don't get it right, no benefit, right? So you have technical things on your checklist, but you also have, as you were talking about, you want to make sure everything's running right, just like when you run that restaurant early. So there's processes, like, let's say you have an integration to like a Trade Gecko for inventory management, right? Is the inventory management decrementing, right? Or let's say you're doing it out to a third party and you go, is the third party glue happening? Like, are products getting fulfilled or getting shipped? I worked on a store where they had so many orders come in, right? Tens of thousands of orders come in that the next 4 or 5 days after the first product launch, right? The next 4 or 5 days was just all about, are we getting through enough of these and getting them out, right? Are we fulfilling these orders fast enough? Because if not, even though I was a store builder, right? And I don't own this, but if products don't get fulfilled fast enough, customers feel like, oh, the whole site is just not trustworthy because I never got my product. And that means people don't come in order. And then all my work is in vain, right? So I start asking questions like, hey, how are we doing on fulfillment? How are we doing on the store? And they're like, yeah, but that's not your world. I'm like, right. And I don't want to ask it in a way that makes it sound like I'm in charge, but I do want to be getting updates and understanding. And then if I discover, ooh, there's an issue here, that's going to make me start thinking about, well, then how do I adjust the order process? Or how do we message how long it'll take? How do we set expectations? So a lot of times my success is, what are the other little proxies, the little indicators, the little things I have to get right to make sure that we're not, you know, getting in the way of the way a customer defines success.
Yeah, and I think the important point that you mentioned there is that we're all on the same team. Our success is aligned in that if the client has a big launch and they generate a bunch of sales and a bunch of revenue, then in turn, that becomes a very motivational or a very compelling portfolio piece for us as a store builder. So it's in our best interest to get the best results that we can, which we would do anyway, but there are incentives that are aligned there. You bring up an interesting point there, though, about communication. And you're talking about how you would politely ask for updates on fulfillment and things like that, just so that you have a sense of it as a store builder. But I'm curious, how do you recommend store builders communicate their end of the product launch to their clients? Like maybe in the progress of the launch, or maybe it's a retrospective at the very end, you know, you quantify a certain time after the product goes live, and then you give a retrospective report on how things went. What kinds of things would you recommend they communicate about, you know, that kind of stuff?
So I think what's really important is for store builders to manage expectations long before the launch, right? So you go, okay, guys, we're looking at doing 100 orders in the first week, right? What we know from our history is that 30% of it's going to be on the first day. So if we want 100 orders, it means we need to be on target to do 33 orders on day one. 33 orders, if we have a 10-hour window, means 3 orders an hour. So we need to make sure that we can scale to, you know, 20 to 50 people concurrently so that at any given moment, 3 of them can buy. So we're playing out the numbers. And I just want to make sure this is what we're trying to do. So if we can support 20 to 30 people with 3 people buying an hour, and we do that through the week, we're going to be good. I want to make sure we're talking about 30 concurrent people, 3 purchases an hour, and I start anchoring people in their brain, right? And this is all math fictitious math based on that someone wanted to do 100 sales. Like, it totally depends on what your store is and what you're selling. But you go, okay, now I'm anchoring you on that. And I'm anchoring you that weeks before we go. And I run tests to make sure that we're good and everything else. So what happens on day one, right? And I start looking and I go, whoa, Google's telling me that we have 400 concurrent people on the site and we're doing 25 orders an hour, right? Do you think I'm going to start messaging that to my owner? Oh, heck yeah. I'm going to be like, folks, just to remember, we were looking for 30 concurrent people and 3 orders an hour. We're currently at 400 concurrent people and 25 orders an hour. This is the best day ever. I just want you to understand, like, this is how big, because we don't normally do that, right? We're just more like, oh, please God, don't die. Just don't die. As long as it doesn't die, we're okay. But we don't celebrate we had anchored on this number and our infrastructure and our code and everything else is at this number. Folks, this is a huge win. And when you do that, when you communicate not only what your expectations are, but what reality is and how well it's going, and you're doing that all the time, and you're going, guys, we were able to do this, and that. We were able to send out this many emails. The more you give people that sit rep, right? And that sit rep on the hour, on the day, on the week, the more you do that, the more value they believe you've brought to the table. The less you do that, the less value. They just assume that, well, yeah, it was supposed to work. Why wouldn't it work? Or yeah, like no one knows concurrency programming and multi-threaded development. Like, they don't know what's happening or what you did that made it special enough. They're just like, well, he set it up and it worked. Why wouldn't it work? Of course it would work. And you're like, no. Let's get everybody anchored. This is what we were anchoring for. This is what we were supposed to do. And here's what we ended up doing, right? With one store a couple of years ago, we grew them over the course of a year, like 20X. Right? 20X of what they were doing in transaction volume in a given day, later in the year, 20 times that, right? And their next question was, how do we do another 20X next year, right? To which my question was, are there enough people on the planet that need your product, right? Like we're getting to the point where we're going, these are fictitious numbers, right? But they were thrilled that they got 20X. And now the question was, how do we get the next 20, right? Success does that, right? It resets all the expectations, and that is hard. So you also want to manage the, hey guys, we could grow this much, but we're going to have to spend a lot more in this or that. Mm-hmm. But having that communication upfront, consistent, anchoring them, and then giving people sit reps on the day of the launch, on the several days afterward. We did a launch recently and their site had failed within minutes. And then we had popped up a new site within 48 hours, right? Literally coded this whole thing from scratch and built it up. And there we were, 48 hours later, popped up a new store just for one product so they could do a launch, right? Because their customer base had been prepped and ready. And we did we did more, right, per hour in terms of transactions than their best days and weeks in December of the previous year, right?
Wow.
The volume was insane. And we were giving sit reps every 30 minutes, not even hour or day, but every 30 minutes. This is the new mark we hit. This is the new mark we hit. This is mark. And they would tell, oh my God, that's better than our best week last year at Christmas, right? Oh, that's better than the whole month. Oh my God, we've done more sales in 2 hours than we have all year, right? Like, and they're giving you the feedback too, but you're giving them this is how well it's going. Right? You made enough money in the first couple hours to pay for all the stuff you've ever wanted to do in terms of building your store for the next year. Right? And they're like, this is incredible. So sit reps often, right? Most time we don't get involved in that. We're not involved in the launch even. Store builders are like, well, I built it and I walk away. And you're like, no. What time are you launching? How do we get on a video call? How do we share this the whole time? I think I told you this. We literally changed a payment gateway in the middle of a launch, right? For one store. In the middle of the launch, the gateway, the API calls were not moving fast enough. And so we coordinated to change the payment gateway. I don't recommend this at home, right? I don't recommend that anyone ever do this. But immediately we saw more throughput right away with a new gateway. And the traffic instead of being stuck in this checkout, it started flowing again across the site. And the owner was on the video while we were doing it. And he was like, this is like watching a SWAT team. This is incredible. And you're like, well, this is what we do. Because we're part of this launch with you. And we want to make sure that you maximize your revenue, right? And that means we have to watch all the little technical things to make sure nothing's holding you up.
Right. Yeah, that's a great story. And I think that, you know, the emphasis there is on those situation reports, those sit reps that you're talking about, being proactive about that and keeping those open lines of communication, you know, especially when things are going well. But I would think that even when things aren't going well, when you hit those roadblocks, when you have a failure, you definitely want to be proactive about that because bad news doesn't get better with time. So maybe to wrap things up, our last point here, I want to talk about, you know, you have quite a few product launches under your belt. What are some of those common roadblocks or stumbling blocks that a store builder can almost expect to encounter? And if they don't show up, maybe that's the surprise there. And how do they prepare proactively to address those so that in the story that you alluded to, they're the proactive, you know, prepared SWAT team and not somebody that's stumbling over themselves because they didn't see this coming?
Well, some of those checklists, I mean, we talked about email already, right? Email is one of those, it happens all the time where you just realize, oh, they configured the wrong server to send it, or they didn't integrate with a third-party system. And so you go, okay, we got to get that right. Analytics, they don't have monitoring, right? Someone doesn't have monitoring. So you're flying blind, right? You would never run a store with a cash register and then be like, hey, what are the numbers in the cash register? I don't know. I'll tell you next week. Like, no, I can't do that. I need to know how we're doing every night, right? So monitoring, metrics. So, you know, any whether it's Google in real time or you're using Heap Analytics or anyone else, you know, you need to know what's going on to make sure that if you see something weird, right, that you can say, huh, there's a lot of traffic pooling right here. Why would that be? You start running through the hypotheses and then go, I know what it is. We got to make a change, right? So analytics is a big deal. Email is a big deal. We talked about already prepping an audience, right? If someone calls me up at the last minute to do a launch, and I go, okay, how many people do we have prepped for this launch? And they're like, what do you mean? Well, how many emails have you sent out? What, huh? Well, how many people are on your list? Wait, what list, right? And you're like, oh, stop, right? It's better to delay a launch and get an audience ramped than it is to launch to zero traffic, right? Little chirps and nothing. Because that'll demoralize everybody on the team, right? So those are the big ones. I think the other one, you start getting this nuance of like, okay, are you using inventory system or are you just manually doing inventory? I worked with a store years ago where their version of inventory was like, they picked up the phone, right? Or the order form came in and it said, we want this kind of, it was rope for sailing yachts, right? We want this rope at this strength and in blue. And they'd be like, hold on a second, right? Go in the back, Marge, do we have blue, right? No, we have green. All right. Hey, we only have green. Okay, I'll sell you the green, right? And you're like, that's not inventory, right? And also there's no way to do predictive analytics on that. And so inventory is another place where you go, are we managing inventory the right way? Are we showing what is in stock versus out of stock so that we can manage what people are buying? Because you just don't want everybody to buy the out of stock product and then get the notice that it's all back ordered and then everyone's delayed. And it just doesn't create the kind of vibe you want for your store. So those are the areas that I'd spend a lot of time in, making sure that you're bolstered and prepped for.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as you're talking through that, what I'm picturing in my mind is like Apollo 13 and Mission Control, right? And they have all these sensors and they're saying, okay, we've got a problem. You know, what's thrust at? What's internal temperature at? What's, you know, the angle of ascent and things like that. And so basically, you just want to have all the information available to you to troubleshoot any of the problems that might bring things to a full stop, right? Like this website exactly. Goes down, checkout doesn't work, something like that. Or even, you know, a surgeon, they have their little monitor that has heart rate and all those things. And they know when a problem's going to happen before it happens sometimes. And that's because they have all the information necessary to proactively make those decisions and they're not being reactionary. So I think it's a great place to wrap it up today, Chris. Thank you so much for your insight on product launches. I know we could go deep into the nuances of launching a store versus launching an individual product. Maybe in a future episode we will. But for today, I think that's plenty for our listeners to chew on. So do you have any parting words of wisdom or advice to share before we sign off?
I would just say, a product launch is a successful product launch is a team effort. So your inventory person, your email or copy person, your designer person, your web store manager person, your store builder, your customer, they all come together. And more often than not, I use tools like Zoom, right, to put all of us on the video screen at the same time as we launch. And one of those screens, just like you were talking about, right? Having a control center, one of those screens is pulled up and someone's showing us exactly what Google is saying. Someone else might be looking at what Cloudflare is saying. Someone else is looking at the actual store. Someone's looking at PayPal or Stripe and looking at orders coming in. All the people's faces are in, and we're all able to talk as if we're all sitting in one room because it's a team effort to win. And you don't know where something's going to happen, or you don't know when something odd is going to pop up where you go, hey, we need to make a decision. Do we have the right people in the room ready to make that call so that we can move quickly, right? So think of it as a team effort. Build those relationships long in advance. So on the launch day, there's no tension, there's no drama. Get yourselves together and then launch together and then celebrate together.
Yeah, there you go, folks. That's the playbook for a successful product launch in the e-commerce space. Chris, thank you again for your time today. We'll look forward to talking to you in the next episode. Always enjoy hearing your insights and your stories.
Awesome. Take care.
Take care.
All right, folks. So there you have it. That wraps up our conversation about how you can help your clients plan for and execute a successful store or product launch. So let's quickly recap what we talked about today. First, we talked about what the store builder's role is during a product launch. And that's a balance of being a strategic advisor, a technical expert, and in cases where you aren't able to personally deliver on a certain task like design or copywriting, you become what I call the great facilitator, in that you are pairing your clients with somebody who can deliver on that front, or you're acting as the middleman and managing that relationship and taking care of that for them. Next, we talked about whether or not you should treat store and product launches differently, and the short version is, not really, they're pretty much the same. In either case, you have to build and grow an audience, you have to prepare that audience and prime them for the presentation that you're going to put in front of them, the offer that you're going to put in front of them, and then you have to engage in something called a soft launch, which we see a lot of times with restaurants where they'll open it up for a limited time or to a limited set of the public, see how things go, test the processes, and evaluate and pivot based on that. So that's a quick tip that Chris shared that I really loved and wanted to emphasize again. The next topic we covered was a set of important considerations for store builders when they're preparing for the launch. Of course, you want to have your own process and checklist, but some of the boxes that you're going to want to make sure that you do check are marketing, website stability, and critical processes like that checkout function. The next topic we covered was how to communicate launch progress and communicate results to clients. And where we settled with this was you wanted to set expectations early, anchor them on realistic goals as far as number of sales per day or per week or whatever your metrics are, and then send them messages and send them updates early and often during the product launch, whether they're good or bad. Remember, bad news does not get better with time, and good news you definitely want to promote in the moment and not save that, because you want your clients to be as excited as you are about the performance of your campaign and your launch. And finally, we talked about some of those common roadblocks or stumbling blocks that store builders can expect to run into and sometimes are overlooked by both clients and store builders alike. Those are things like email deliverability. Do we have our analytics set up? Are they properly tracking the analytics? Have we primed our audience? Are we going to launch to crickets? And do we have an accurate inventory management system so that we're not selling people things that aren't actually on the shelves ready to be delivered? So that wraps up everything that we talked about today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And somewhere in there, you took note of something that you could start applying in your business very quickly. As always, we'll link up any resources or tools that we referenced in the show notes. And I hope that if you haven't already done so, you'll consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. So until next time, we're wishing you all the best in life and in business, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.